So we have been studying on Wednesday night the different types of churches in Revelation 2 and chapter 3 that will be here when Jesus Christ comes back again. And I have been watching for Jesus Christ to come back ever since I've been 17 years of age. And I'm still watching for Jesus Christ to come back. And I hope you're watching for Jesus. I don't believe he'll come back in this service. I don't believe in a signless any moment thing where my clothes are going to drop down in the if he comes back and invisibly I'll just disappear and the world won't know. It'll be like a thief in the night. The world won't know. We'll just be snatched out of here. That's hogwash. It's not scriptural. He is coming back again. And when he comes back, it will be public. It will be a showdown that will rock this world. And let me say something else to you. It will rock the Christian churches. It will have a tremendous impact on the churches. And Jesus, in Revelation 2 and 3, picked out seven churches from John's day, John the Apostle, who was the writer of the Revelation at the behest of the Lord. He picked those churches out to represent seven types of churches that will go into the last 7 years before the kingdom of God comes to this world. And when you pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Thank God it's coming. Amen. Satan can't stop it. The world can't stop it. Nobody can stop it. Jesus is coming again. Jesus is coming again. And when he comes, he is going to end Satan's 6,000-year rule and set up his kingdom on this earth. And things are going to be done his way. Amen? And there'll be no cross-dressing, and there'll be none of that kind of stuff that you see in mutilation of kids and all of the junk that's going on. Jesus, the Bible said, how is he going to rule? He's going to rule with a rod of iron. A rod of iron. And I am so glad this is going to happen. I was brought up in a church, Protestant church. They didn't believe in a literal millennium. They didn't believe in a literal rule of Christ on earth for 1,000 years. Well, I want to tell you, they're wrong. And I am so happy to tell you that that is the theme of the Bible, Christ coming and setting up his kingdom on earth. And so we said that out of the seven types of churches that will enter the last 7 years of prophetic fulfillment, four types will continue right up until the second coming of Christ. And I want to just see if the men are with me here. Is there any man that knows what part of the 7 years will the second coming take place in? There's one seven-year period. Oh, look at that. He raised his hand right away.
The end of it?
Yeah, the second 3.5 years of it. No man knows the day or the hour, but it will happen during the second 3.5 years of the 7 years that Jesus Christ will come back. And what event in the middle of those 7 years precedes this second coming of Jesus Christ? What event precedes it, so that when this event takes place and you're working through this event, you can say now the coming of Christ is any day or any moment when we get to that event. What is that event?
The Great Tribulation.
Oh, good. The Great Tribulation. Amen and amen. And so the churches, listen to me, the churches are in chapter 2 and 3. But this thing, right up to the second coming, in the book of Revelation, the second coming, the rapture of the church, one of the men tell me, is in what chapter of Revelation? What chapter is the rapture of the church in the book of Revelation? All right, amen and amen, Brother Bob.
Chapter 7.
Chapter 7. Boy, I like it when you're not ignorant of the times and seasons. I feel good about that because there are a lot of churches, my friend, they don't know how to navigate through the end times.
And you ought not to be ignorant. That's what the Bible says in 2 Thessalonians. And so I want to have it so that you understand these things. And so, yes, that is going to happen. And four of these churches are going to actually be here all the way through the part of the 7 years until Christ comes back. And those are the things that John had seen in chapter 1 through 7 of the Revelation. Now, we mentioned only four churches really represent. So, I want to say the first two churches will be eliminated before the Lord comes back. So what two churches will not be here as far as alive and remaining when the Lord comes back? Jesse, yell it out. You don't want to do it. All right, let's go. Let's go with him.
Ephesus and Smyrna.
Yes, Ephesus and Smyrna. Now, we're going to do that on Friday night for the movie. It's all about Smyrna. Smyrna means crushed. You know, it's like a crushed flower, and it brings forth fragrance. You see, there are two churches that have no condemnation, no criticism from the Lord. And one is Smyrna. Now, Ephesus has criticism from the Lord. That's the apostolic church that was here up until about AD 100. And the criticism of that church is that they left their first love. And what we said to you is the Christian life will be drudgery to you if you leave your first love. And you know how you do that? You leave a vital moment-by-moment contact with Jesus. You don't have to. By the way, some people don't like this kind of preaching because they say, I can't face this. I can't face the great tribulation. I can't face all this. This is too heavy. Listen, you don't have to face it today. I trust I'm going to have grace from God when I die. I don't have to face death today unless the Lord tells me, and then he'll give me grace. So you don't have to worry about these things. You have to know about them, so when they happen, you'll be aware. But it's not for you to worry. It's not to distract you from who? Jesus, walking with the Lord. Oh, man, I tell you what, I can enjoy the Lord when I walk with him day by day. And by the way, he said, get back to the first works. You know what the first works are? Faith, where you walk with the Lord and receive everything. As you got saved, so you receive the grace. It's a free gift. So you receive the grace to live this life. You can't live this life on your own. And so you need to receive grace, and that's faith, and that works by what? Love. That you are other person-centered. You are not living for yourself. There are too many Christians, they're full of moaning and groaning because they're just a bunch of selfish bullhunks. And that's all they care about is themselves. And then they come up, this Laodicean 20th century church comes up with a third commandment. We got to love our neighbor, love God with all our heart, mind, soul, love our neighbor. And then we got to learn to love ourselves. No, you don't. You got to learn to love others as you already love yourself. You love yourself. Don't think you don't. And so God says that same care for yourself. Learn to love your wife that way. Learn to love others that way. In honor preferring one another. Do we do that? See, the church that leaves that is the Ephesians church. That type of church will go into the 70th week, but will not make it as a church through the great tribulation. And what will it be that will poop them out? They'll be depending on their own strength, and you will not be able to run with the horsemen of the apocalypse in your own strength. That's why you got to start exercising right now. Right now, learn to get grace from God. Right now, feed on his word. So that church you eliminate, and then the Smyrna church, why are they eliminated from the second coming? All right, Jose, but we can give it all to Luke. No, we're going to get Jose. All right.
They're being persecuted.
They're being persecuted. And they're being persecuted to such an extent that what's going to happen to them?
They're all dead.
They're all dead. That's why Jesus said, don't fear the second death, because he said, You may die because of your faith, but think of those people that are killing you. They're going to die and 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 die in hell forever. He said, this is quick. Theirs is forever. Jehovah Witnesses are liars when they say you go into hell and burned up like that. No, that's a lie of hell, of Satan.
Hell will be cast in the lake of fire.
Yeah. It's forever and ever. And so I'm just saying tonight that that eliminates two churches from the second coming. Now you're down to five. And what we could do, since Pergama and Thyatira, Pergama starts at about 300, 8300, goes to 600, then Thyatira 600 to the early 1500s, just before the Reformation, and that represents what kind. Both of those represent what kind of churches in history?
The Catholic?
Yeah, the Roman Catholic and the Catholic-type churches. So you can kind of put them together, and you can say this, that the Catholic-type churches will be here, listen to me, right up until the second coming of Jesus Christ. But the Catholic Church is mostly what?
Dead.
Dead. And so what is going to happen at the second coming, the Bible says the Catholic type churches and people in the Catholic type churches, they're going to take communion, they're going to take the Eucharist, they're going to keep doing infant baptism, they're going to keep worshiping Mary, they're going to keep on doing what they have been doing. But what are they going to do in addition to that? That means they're not going to have any great tribulation during the great tribulation. What are they going to do in addition to that?
Take the mark.
They're going to take the mark. Amen, Brother Jose. And therefore, it's no big deal to them. You see, even in Smyrna, if you watch this movie this week, the Caesar, the Roman Caesar, didn't mind if you had other gods. You can have other gods as long as he's number one. By the way, Jesus is jealous. He doesn't mind if you have other pleasures, but if he's not number one, that's really important to him. He's jealous. He's jealous. He's a jealous husband. Jesus. And so that's right. You they'll take the mark, and they will not have any persecution or tribulation. And people in the Catholic Church that are really saved, God will keep them from taking the mark. But guess what? They will be turned into the authorities. As the Bible said, family will betray you. Fake Christians will betray you. That's why I believe in church discipline and church membership. Because it'll become all the more important when you get into these end times that you're not playing games. And so, all right, we're down to two churches that will be here. Now, down to one, really, the Roman Catholic Church, represented by two churches. And so now we have those two, and we eliminated two others. And so what we're going to do now is we're going to study the rest of the churches that are representative churches and see how they will do during the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesus won't be here. Sardis will be martyred and witness. Thyatira and Pergamos, represented by the Catholic churches, they will be here, but they will be slain by the sword of the Lord's mouth and squashed by him during the day of the Lord's wrath. In other words, it's going to be like hell on earth. They're not going to be able to get away from the judgments of God. You remember Balaam? Balaam encouraged the people of God to join with the world by worshiping their idols and going to their parties, and their men would go with their women. By the way, if you go with unsaved people, a man go with unsaved woman, that'll pull you away from God quicker than anything you can imagine. That's why Satan still tries that trick. It's always a woman. And he used it. He used Eve. He used it with Balaam. And he used it with this Jezebel in this church. It's always one. That's why, by the way, I don't believe in lady preachers. Amen. And you shouldn't have lady preachers nor sit under lady preachers. You need to get right with that book right there. That book is the highest authority. And so this kind of thing is happening. And so the Bible says that when you get into this this time when the second coming of Jesus Christ is going to come upon you, you're going to have that type of situation, the Catholic churches, and then the church we want to look at tonight is the, and this is beyond the Catholic Church now, we're not going to look at this tonight. We already looked at this. So the two churches that represent the Catholic Church, Pergamos and Thyatira, they're going to be, number one, smitten with the sword of his mouth and then squeezed and squashed during the day of the Lord. But then, who's going to be surprised? Jesus said there's going to be a type of church, they're going to be surprised when the Lord comes back. They're going to be so surprised, it'll be like a thief in the night. It'll be just like the world. Do you know the world is going to be surprised? You ever hear somebody teach these long messages, as the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming? How many have heard that? As the days of Noah, so shall it be. You've heard that. Now, if you study that out and you read that, and I challenge you to do it, he's only talking about one thing there. He's not talking about everything in the days of Noah are going to be repeated. He's very clear in Daniel 2. The sons of God, angels, are not going to marry women in that time. It's very clear. So here's the deal. How is it going to be like the days of Noah? How is it going to be like the days of Lot? And I'll get Brother Bob for this one.
They'll be doing normal things of life and be completely caught off guard by the judgment.
Boy, if people could get a hold of that, I've heard all these elaborate Bible teachers, they don't even look at the Bible. It says right there, in the days of Noah, what were they doing? They were marrying and giving in marriage. They were eating and drinking. It's not saying they were boozing it up. They were just eating and drinking. I ate and drank a lot. Too much sometimes. I've given daughters away in this building to marry. Two of my daughters I've given away. And so I'm just saying, these are, as Bob said, the normal things of life. And it's going to totally shock them. You say, wait a minute, how can it shock them? The Great Tribulation's going to be going on. How will it shock them? Because to them, the Great Tribulation will be the time of prosperity, peace and safety, one world government, one world economy, wealth. They can eat what they want. They have everything. It'll be like Satan's kingdom, man. This is going to be the great time. And it's going to shock them. Why? Because they will not be listening to this kind of thing. And they'll just totally put it out of their mind. But there is a church that's going to happen to as well. And who's that going to be?
Sardis.
And who does Sardis represent in history? Let's go up here.
Protestant Reformation.
You know what? I like it that these men know the answers. They're being taught. You know what? You need to stick with sound doctrine.
Amen.
You say, well, that's just your brand or your label. Well, listen, when I go into the store, I read the labels. I read the labels. I watch what I put in my guts. You better read the labels. You better have doctrine based in the Word of God. Not just a scripture here and a scripture. Know that whole Bible. And be taught it. Rightly dividing the Word of truth. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, reproof, for correction, instruction, and righteousness. That the man of God may be perfect or complete, truly furnished unto all good works. And so that is so important. We are a Bible preaching, Bible teaching church. This is my final authority. This is my final authority. You say, well, what about the Roman Catholic Church? What's their final authority? A tradition. Just like the Pharisees. Well, what's the final authority of the Protestant church? Supposed to be sola scriptura, but you find out in Revelation, God says, you started that way, but you need to repent because you've gotten away. They have a lot of traditions, and they're going with that. Now, there's nothing wrong with tradition as long as it's scriptural tradition. I've got traditions that are based in my conviction, the Word of God. You may disagree with me, but I know where I got it from, and I'm not budging from it. And so we're talking about tradition, and then another authority for the Laodicean church is your own intellect. We don't have the original writings of the Bible, so we have to use scholarship and get as close as we can. The Bible in our language is not our final authority. It is, we compare this Greek translation with that one and this Hebrew with that one, and we come as close as we can through scholarship. And that's the way I used to be. That was the kind of preacher I was at one time, a Sadducee Pharisee type, without authority. So scholarship, tradition, Laodicean, Protestant, Catholic. What's the third one? Experience. I had this experience, and it's got to be of God because I had this experience. No, it doesn't. You better check it out with the Word of God right here. It judges with the Word of God. All Scripture's given. So then we have the final one, which is the Word of God. That is our final authority. And to have that, you got to have it in your own language. Amen?
Yeah.
And not have to go back to the originals, which do not even exist anymore. All right. So what we're talking about is all of these churches will enter into the last 7 years, but four of them will really be churches that will be here when Christ comes back in the second half. That will be the Catholic churches, the Protestant churches, and we're going to talk about another one tonight that will be here, and then we're going to talk about one more that will be here. But listen, the one we're talking about tonight is the Philadelphian type church. And we said that Philadelphia and Smyrna were the only two churches that were not criticized by the Lord. They were just encouraged by the Lord. So please turn to Revelation chapter 3 and verse number 7 and see how the Philadelphian type churches relates to the Lord at his second coming. Now, by the way, as you're turning there, these churches are represented in church history by such men as William Carey, the father of modern missions, Adoniram Judson, George Whitfield, the Wesleys, John and Charles, Charles Spurgeon, D.L. Moody, and then toward the end, Billy Sunday, John R. Rice, Jack Hiles, those type of individuals were the Philadelphian type churches. Now, you say, wait a minute. Now, Pastor, you said that the Catholic type churches are going to be smashed, first of all, slain with the sword, and then squashed at the second coming. And then you said that the Protestant type churches are going to be surprised by the second coming. Well, what about the Philadelphian type church? How is that going to be? And I want to say that church is going to be saved by the rapture. Saved by the rapture. You might say rescued by the rapture. And look with me at verse number 7. That's where we're going to go. And chapter 3. And I'll read it. It says there, "And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth and no man openeth." You know what? You know why this church is called Philadelphia, the church of brotherly love? Do you know why they love the brethren? Because they realize that the head of that church has the key of David, and he opens. You know what Jesus does? He opens doors for you to give the gospel. He opens your mouth so that you can speak the gospel. He opens people's hearts so that they will receive the gospel that you're speaking. And the Philadelphian type church is so involved in the main thing that they don't have time to fight one another and to go after one another, so they love one another more. You know what? If we would focus on the main thing, we would love one another more. And the Philadelphian type church is that kind of church. By the way, I want to be that kind of church. And then it says not only that, It says that a church that is moving with the gospel has the Lord as the key of David. And that means that the Lord can open entrance into the mediatorial kingdom through the gospel and through opening people's hearts. Because unless you're born again, you cannot what? Enter the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, the mediator. You can unless you're born again. Nobody's going to get in there. But the key of David is who? Jesus Christ, who descended from David, the Savior, who opens hearts so they can get into the kingdom of God and be saved. And what a blessing that is. That's the most wonderful thing. And then he goes on here to say, and by the way, if you look in Acts chapter 1, the angel was watching the church, and the church was watching Jesus go back into heaven. And he says, "Why stand ye gazing into heaven?" In other words, why don't you get ready to gather in the end time harvest? And a Philadelphian type church keeps that as very important. So God's opening doors because they're going with the gospel. But look at verse 8 of chapter 3. He says, "I know thy works. Behold, I've set before thee an open door. No man can shut it, for thou hast what? A little strength." Now let me ask you this. These Philadelphian churches in history were missionary churches. They were given the gospel. They were getting people saved. They were getting people baptized. They were building these churches. Now, these churches were not all small churches. Somebody says, "You've got a little strength. That means you're just a little small church." No, that's not necessary. Philadelphian churches don't generally stay small. They grow. Well, you say, why does he say you've got a little strength? One of the men tell me, why do they have a little strength?
Because they have a lot of strength with God.
Wow. They've got a lot of strength with God. You see, they've got God's power. To do what? To win souls. That's what God's power is given for. D.L. Moody, some guy said, "I want to tell you, Mr. Moody, about my spiritual experience." He said, "Have you been winning souls since you had that experience?" He said, "Well, no, but I..." He said, "I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it." You see, the Philadelphian church has open doors and open mouths and open hearts and are getting people saved, number one. And number two is they've got the power of God to do that. And God will give you that power if you beg him for it. And you go out sowing. And so that is it. And then he says, "And has kept my word." Can somebody get saved with a modern translation? One of the men tell me, can somebody get saved if you use a modern translation?
Yes.
Oh, good. I thought you were going to say no there. I thought he was going to be overzealous. Yes, he can. I remember Brother Bob when you came out of that. He came in my office, and Bob told me, you know, I went to the Catholic priest and tried to explain my experience, and he didn't understand me. I said, "You've just been born again, Bob. I can see it right now." He pulled out his modern translation, started reading me the scripture that a pastor gave. And I said, "That's great, Bobby. It's great." I didn't just come down on him. He had truth there. There's truth in the modern translations. But there's also mixed in with error. And so you want to have a final authority. But God can still work. But I'm saying to you, listen to me. He rewards this church because he said, "You kept my word." And God wants you to find this Bible and to keep it. And how are you going to keep it? You stay in it and you follow it and stay with it. And don't let anybody pull you away from it like that Jehovah Witness lady tried to do to me. And all she got was more. You try to pull something away from me that God gave me. And when you try to pull, it's going to make me grab on it tighter. I had a guy tell me one time, he said, "You're a bulldog for the Lord." He said... He said, "You know, when a bulldog goes water skiing, they'll put the thing in the mouth of the bulldog and put him on skis. And even when he goes under the water and he's drowning, he won't let it go. He'll keep it on." That's a good thing when you get the word of God and you get a conviction from the word of God, right? Don't let it go. Be a bulldog for Jesus. And so, woof, woof. And so, you know, I have to tell you, and I have to say this, Brother Bob, I have taught in Revelation, but if I see something from the Word of God that proves me wrong, I will change. And I have always taught that the promise to Revelation in 3:10 is that if you go through the tribulation, God will keep the Philadelphian church safe through the tribulation. Now, I still believe that, but I don't believe that hour of temptation is talking about the great tribulation. I want you to go to Revelation 3:10. I'll quote it to you, and you can look at it. And here's what it says: "Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth." I notice Marv also has come up with the interpretation I'm going to give you, Marv Rosenthal, before he passed. But I will say this. He says, "Because thou hast kept the word of my patience." You know, when God gives you a promise, you have oftentimes a prerequisite that you must get the promise. All right? "Because thou hast kept the word of my patience." That means that you've endured and you've gone through not only the beginning of sorrows, but what? The great tribulation. And you didn't take the mark. You did not take the mark. Now, if you don't take the mark and you are a Smyrna-type believer, what's going to happen to you? You're going to die. But if you're a Philadelphian-type believer, God is going to preserve you through the tribulation right to the rapture, alive, because he's got to have somebody that are alive when he comes back again. And I like to use this illustration. How many have heard of Columbine, the Columbine? And you know the girl that gave her life at Columbine. Those two guys came and they had the guns and they came up to her and they said to her, "Are you going to deny Christ?" And she said, "You know what I believe. You know I'm not going to do it." They shot her in the head and killed her. Her brother was in a room with a bunch of other kids hiding under a table. And her brother was in that room and saw Dylan Klebold and his buddy come in. And they had the guns and they're looking, they're shooting people and killing them that are up where they can see them. But the ones under the table were safe. And they walked out of the room. But then it was not an audible voice, but it was like something told him, "Get up and run for the exit door, the other exit door." He got up, started running, called people to follow him. They followed him. And when they got out that door, the authorities were there and grabbed him and rushed him to safety. So his sister got shot, but he got preserved because he moved. I believe that a Philadelphian-type believer will move through the whole tribulation with the gospel and be providentially or supernaturally, listen to me, protected by God. Now, can you tell me two preachers who start preaching in the middle of the 70th week who are definitely protected by God?
Moses and Elijah.
Correct. Moses and Elijah. Did you know Elijah's coming back and Moses is coming back? It's amazing. If you're alive at that time, you'll see them. Prophets of God. And they will be preaching, and the beast and the Antichrist will try to kill them and not able to do it. I am telling you, we are coming into a confrontation where Satan is more and more coming out in the open. Bob alluded to it in his prayer. What is this? There's no rhyme or reason. Oh, yes, there is. Satan is taking over, and he's trying to create chaos, and he's trying to create mayhem and destruction, because of out of chaos comes what? Control. And he's a control freak, and he wants to set up his reign. So these things are going to come out in the open, and you're going to see a confrontation that's going to rock this world, and God is going to preserve these Philadelphian type believers through this time of the great tribulation. So he says, listen, "Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation." Now, what is the hour of temptation? I want you to see Revelation 3:10 again. And it says, I always thought it was the great tribulation, a time of testing. But it says, "Which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth." That phrase is very interesting. It could be said that they are earth dwellers.
They're not citizens of heaven. So what's happening here when the Lord comes back? The earth dwellers, the people of this world that are not saved, they're going to see what? His glory. And what's their first response when they see the Lord coming back? Is it, whoa, yeah, Jesus is coming back. What's their first response when they, raise your hand if you know, when Jesus comes back?
The tribes of the earth shall mourn and they'll cry to the mountains to fall on us and hide us.
Excellent. That's their response. And by the way, I traced it in the book of Revelation. Six trumpet judgments. While the Lord's glory is in the heavens, and they'll know this is the time of his coming. We call that word parousia. It's coming and continuing to do things over months and over the couple of years there, that Jesus will be pouring out trumpet judgments on this world, one after the other. And I want to show you this tonight. We'll probably have to wrap this up and finish it next week. But when you get to six trumpet judgments, they've seen the Lord. They've seen him. The rapture is not secret. The rapture is going to be, they'll hear the trumpet. They will hear the voice of the archangel. They will see believers, listen to me, transformed before their eyes, just like Jesus was transformed before the disciples. They'll see believers that have been witnessing to them, and suddenly they'll be transformed. And like guided missiles, they'll go right up into the air with angels, and they'll see it. Do you see how this is the hour of testing for earth dwellers? And God said, you Philadelphian believers, you're going to be there alive, preserved through the tribulation. But you will not go into the hour of testing because you're already saved. You're going to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation. 1 Thessalonians 5:9. It's just some of your prophecy teachers didn't have it pinpointed when the wrath starts. We'll do that next week. We'll get into that. But let me just suffice it to end with this tonight. And I want to give you this as the last. Go to Revelation 9. This is after six trumpet judgments, after they've seen the Lord, they've seen the raptured church. All of this, the earth dwellers, Revelation chapter 9. Go to chapter 9, verse number, let's go to verse number 21. Revelation 9 and verse number 21. I will read it. You follow in your copy of God's word. It says, how do they respond? It says, neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. Now you say, what is that talking about, preacher? Well, I'll tell you what. Neither repented they of their murders. I'll tell you one big murder that's going on is abortions. Right. They're not repenting of abortions. They're fighting it. You see these women and how they reacted, you know, my womb, and how violent they are. They're murderers. And then nor of their sorceries. Does anybody know the word translated into sorceries? What is that word in the language in which it was written?
Pharmakia.
Pharmakia. Drugs. Drugs. We are seeing more drugs, fentanyl coming across the border, more drug abuse, more. I have talked to people who control women by drugs and men who make women their dirty toys by using drugs to control them. They are whoremongers. And the Bible says they're not going to repent of it even after Jesus comes back and starts pouring out his wrath. You know what that is? See, they went into hiding, but they came back out. You say, Pastor, how can that be? I'll tell you how it can be. Pharaoh, he said, man, to Moses, don't hit me with another plague, boss. I'll do what you want. And then as soon as he lightened up on him, boom, he's right back at it again. 10 times. Until finally, that was over. When he killed his kid, that was enough. Pharaoh said, you killed my kid. Get out.
I'll let you go. I'll give you whatever you... But see, that is what we have. They're going to go on. And it says that they didn't repent of their murders, their abortions. Didn't repent of their drugs, their sorcery. Nor of their fornication. We just talked about the sexual immorality. It's getting worse and worse. Nor of their thefts. How about stealing elections from us?
Right.
How about stealing away the freedom of speech?
Right.
How about stealing away the right to bear arms? How about stealing away where people try to defend themselves in their own home? And they're being put in jail and treated like murderers. Nah, they're taking away what God gave us, and the Constitution recognizes it. These are thefts, and they're not going to repent of it because these people are satanic. And so we're going to talk more about this, but let me just say that this church is a soul winning, church planning, Today King James Bible, and pray for the power of God church that will be here when Christ comes back, mostly alive, not dead like the Smyrna church. Because see, the Smyrna church bears witness. The word witness in the Greek is martos. Where did we get that? Martyr. Like Stephen, like the apostles. But there also will be a witness like Elijah and Moses and the Philadelphian believers, where nothing will be able to kill them until the rapture. We'll talk about that next week. I'm going to give you scripture, a lot of scripture. But we don't have time now. But let me tell you, you know, praise the Lord for that. Now share it. Get it out there. And God will bless. Let's bow for prayer. Every head bowed. You know,